Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, August 6th, 2026, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics, page 56. One night when confined in a hospital, it's the second paragraph through to the end of paragraph after that, who are you to say there is no God? Today's readers are Penny L.C., who will read the text, Tony B., a vision for you, and Vanessa G. is our backup. Chanel T. is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, August 5th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,700, and for Thursday, August 6th, 7 a.m. Eastern, 23,702. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. As a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lisa W. in Denver to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Good morning.
Good morning. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Lisa. I will now ask Patty F. in Massachusetts to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. This is Patty F. in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, our loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and proceeds divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, and COA name ought never be drawn to public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, television, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you both for your service this month. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics, page 56, the second paragraph, One Night When Confined in a Hospital, through two paragraphs ending with Who are you to say there is no God? I will now ask Penny L.C. to please start reading and then share with us. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., grateful recovered compulsive overeater. One night, when confined in a hospital, he was approached by an alcoholic who had known a spiritual experience. Our friend's gorge rose as he bitterly cried out, "If there is a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for me." But later, alone in his room, he asked himself this question, "Is it possible that all the religious people I have known are wrong?" While pondering the answer, he felt as though he lived in hell. Then, like a thunderbolt, a great thought came. It crowded out all else. Who are you to say there is no God? And when I'm looking at this paragraph, I remind myself that this is Fritz M., and, you know, he's sharing about himself and realizing, you know, as he looks back, he was really confronted at a certain point in his life with rebellion from all he had been known or all he had known and been taught. And he had taken on, you know, great resistance toward the religious teachings and defiance toward the whole institution of religion. You know, and then what? And then he was able to have this point where he reached his bottom and his beliefs were failing him. And when he reached desperation, he then was able to consider an alternative outlook. My beliefs, and if you want to read more, it's on page, it's in the middle of his story that talks about this section is page 215. And I have to say for myself, my beliefs were formulated during my life, but then you know, with my own thinking, which we know is not always the keenest, I was having you know, a lot of turmoil within myself. And I was afraid to look at my beliefs. You know, they had been there, they were part of me. But now to be able to hit that wall and be able to have to consider what they really were and how they were working for me or not, you know, and then I was able to reconsider my thinking. and in turning to OA and the Big Book, I was given alternative ways of thinking about things. And that's what really started to change things within me, because I thought, okay, my way hasn't worked. And this way says it works and outlines how it works and is willing to take me through step by step. What a gift. And Fritz M. is to discover that gift shortly. So, and that gift is there
That's
for
time.
Each of us. Thank you, Susan. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Penny, for getting us going. If you came in halfway through Penny's lovely share, turn your book or on your phone, wherever you're reading, page 56 in We Agnostics, the second paragraph. We read two paragraphs today. One night when confined in a hospital, ending with, "Who are you to say there is no God?" So as a wee reminder, although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And that counts for both meetings. So if you already shared on the earlier meeting, you don't get to share right now. You have to wait a few days. So if you would like to share today, please could you give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country that you're calling from this morning? Who would like to share?
Leah R.S. from Lodi.
Leah R.S. from where?
Wendy
Lodi,
M.
California.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, hold on. Wendy M., who was from California?
Leah R.S.
Leah, thank you. Thank you. I got you, Leah. Wendy, I know where
Jackie
you're
D.
from.
Massachusetts.
Jackie D., Massachusetts. Who was after Jackie?
Tony B., Scotland.
Thank you, Tony.
Darcy A.
Darcy, thank you. Where are you from?
Washington State.
Thank you so much.
Susan C. from Pennsylvania.
Sorry, I didn't catch your first name. I heard Pennsylvania and a C.
Susan.
Oh, same as mine. There you go. All right. Anyone else for this first lineup? All right. I have Leah.
AJ from Chicago.
Okay, AJ. Thank you.
BJ.
All right.
From Chicago.
BJ, sorry. Okay. Thank you. Sorry about
Thank
that.
You.
Thank you.
No worries.
Thank you. So I've got Leah or Leah, now I've forgotten which one, but you know who you are, RS in California, Wendy M., Jackie D., Tony B., Darcy A., we're going through the whole alphabet here, Susan C., and BJ. So if everybody other than Leah could mute her line, Leah, go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Leah R.F., R is in red, F is in fancy, calling from Lodi, California, and I'm a compulsive overeater, 100-pounder, and just really grateful to be on the line. Thank you so much for your service, and I look forward to hearing everybody's shares this morning. But yes, I was definitely living in hell prior to coming to OA. I've been in this program for a little over 3.5 years, and I was just riddled with anxiety. I knew that what I was doing with the food was absolutely unsustainable, that it was going to lead to health problems and a shortened life, and it was already having a lack of quality of life for me. And so prior to OA, I believed there was some kind of entity out there, some kind of God, higher power. I had pulled away from religious things but again, just thought that there was some kind of God out there, but that it just ran parallel with my life. It wasn't necessarily something that was participating in my life. And I really didn't pray and was definitely disgruntled at the fact that I couldn't use God as my own, you know, personal genie or cosmic Santa Claus, that God just wouldn't take the fat away or just wouldn't do the things that I wanted. So I kind of had just given up on the whole God thing, but again, thought there was something out there. And really, it wasn't until coming into OA that, you know, I was forced to look at that idea again if I wanted to get well. And it was just so refreshing to be able to redefine what my higher power was, what that looked like to me, something that I could turn my life and my will over to. And, you know, today I have a wonderful relationship with my higher power. Yesterday in my meditation, I envisioned that I was sitting at just a garden party with my, you know, I have heavenly parents. That's what it looks like for me. And that's okay. Everybody has their own version of an HP, and they hugged me and they kissed the side of my head and embraced me. And, you know, I allow myself to love myself. I allow myself to receive love. I know that might sound, you know, mushy or gushy, you know, but that's what I need. And that's, I need to be loved and I need to love. And so I'm just so grateful to have that relationship, because prior to OA, I didn't pray maybe once every 3 months as I fell asleep, didn't know how to pray, and didn't meditate at all. So just grateful to have that relationship, to be restored to sanity today. Yeah,
that's
and to not be living in the hell anymore. Thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Leah RF in Lodi, California. Next, we have Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you so much for your service, everybody who does service. And if you're new or having a rough ride, this works. This actually works. This works incredibly. You get a life way beyond your wildest dreams. So, you know, I love this sort of petulant child, like, I'm not going to love you. You don't love me. I don't trust that you're there. You're not there. I'm sure I'm right, you know. And what comes to my mind is, like, I don't need you, God. And then I'm like, I desperately need you, God. Like, when I'm angry, when I'm that gorged up, right, it's usually because I'm frightened. And what am I terrified about? That God, that I'm not worthy of God's love, that God loves all those other people, but not me. Is there something wrong with me, God? Why don't you pick me? Why didn't you pick me? You know, and like, I hate you, but actually it's like the child saying, I love you. And not only that, I desperately need you, right? Like, and when we get to that point of, I desperately need you, And you know, and I want you so badly, right? Because the lie is that I'm disconnected from my maker and I want to come home, right? And, you know, you fall to your knees. Hopefully you're deeply mangled. Hopefully you're desperate, right? Like, I had to be desperate. And I love this idea of like, no, I need you, and calling you guys, I need help. Hey, this is what I did with food last night. I have to tell somebody the truth about it. That's when I fall to my knees. When I tell you, hey, this is what I did with food, or this is how I treated someone yesterday. I call and tell you exactly what I did. It's funny, like, we're self-absorbed and self-seeking and self-everything, self-centered, but we actually, as addicts, don't take the moment to say, what are my actual actions? Like, what am I doing? Like, we don't focus on ourselves in the sense of, like, how can I be responsible, or what did I put in my mouth? Like, honesty, 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 you know? And when I get on my knees, fall to my knees and call you guys with the truth of the matter of how I actually treated somebody, right? I get God instantly. You see, I'm craving God, and God wants me to crave God, right? Because I have to come home. This is a coming home program, right? And the obstacle in all of this is me. And I love, like, who am I to say? Well, shit, who am I to say anything? My mind was so limited, so small, so prejudiced before this program. And now anything's possible. In fact, I've got to get out of the way so God can do God's magic. I've got to say every day, I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know anything about dating. I don't know anything about the food. I don't even know anything about sponsoring, right? But I fall to my knees every day. Thank God. Because when I fall to my knees, I say, I don't know. I don't know. And who am I to say anything about anything? Not just the food.
That's time.
But like, thank you very much, Susan, and I pass.
Thank you, Wendy. Next, hello, we have Jackie D. in Massachusetts.
I just
could everybody
came in
mute,
the
please,
meeting,
other than
just,
Jackie? Star one,
hi,
please,
this
to
is
mute.
Jackie.
Thank you.
I just wanted
Thank
to know
you,
what
Jackie
the reading does. Was.
Please, can you mute, and I will tell you afterwards. Thank you so much. Jackie,
hi, everybody.
Go
this
ahead,
is Jackie.
Please.
I am a compulsive overeater from Foxborough, Massachusetts. I'm grateful to be on the meeting today. Thank you for service, and thank you for everybody else that has shared. I don't know about anybody else on this call, but before I got to recovery, I totally played the victim. And when I hear in this paragraph, if there is a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for me. Like, you know, just a brat, right? Like a victim and a brat. Like that's kind of how I was before I came to recovery. But, you know, I did believe in God. I went to Catholic school, whatever, didn't have a connection with a higher power, but I did believe in God. So every night I would ask, when I was a kid, I would ask my God to bless my parents and my brother and my sister, but that was it. And then, you know, my father had been a nominal churchman. He went all the time, and he, was a model for me, because then I started to go to church. And I just remember every day I used to go to church, even when without my father, like when I became like a working woman. And I would hold on to the pew for dear life and be like holding on, controlling, when what I should have been doing was letting go and letting that God into my life and trying to connect with that God. But I didn't know any better until I got to the halls of AA and now OA. So I lost my connection with my higher power fairly recently, within the past, I don't know, months. And it was so scary not being able to find that connection. And the reason that I didn't find the connection was because I wasn't taking action, like, right? So I was writing yesterday, and it was like, who moved? God didn't move. I'm the one that moved away. So, like, I'm just working my way back to cultivating that relationship. And I did relapse, but I am back. And I feel so much better, and I'm just trying to concentrate on my connection and cultivating that connection with my higher power, because I know there's a God, because I've felt it before, and I've had that connection before, and I've had that peace before, and I've been abstinent before. So I want to get that back, but it means that I have to take some action, and being on this meeting and sharing is definitely a couple actions that help me. I've been doing my prayers and trying to meditate, and I'm working another program right now too. So it's a lot, but it's just all, I'm just looking for peace and comfort in my life, and I cannot get that from the food. I've tried trillions of times to get it from the food, and every time it's like it doesn't work, right? That's the insanity of it, so... I'm just going to keep coming, and I'm going to say, yes, there is a God.
That's time.
And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. And before we go to the next person, we are discussing page 56, two paragraphs, starting with the second paragraph, one night when confined in a hospital, through to who are you to say there is no God. All right. Tony B. in Scotland, please join us. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Susan. Yes, my name's Tony B, and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. So, yes, Fitzmayo had a minister for a father, and sounds like they were pretty good people, you know, from his story, our southern friend. You know, the parishioners all loved him, it seemed. But there are those little telltales at the beginning of Fitz's story where he's sort of like, he can't wait to attack the buckwheat pancakes. And he's got what he needs. He's got everything he needs, but it's kind of not enough. And I know that feeling very well. And we get this sense of his bitterness and his self-pity. But really, you know, he asks, he certainly hasn't, you know, if there is a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for me. You think about this man, you know, born into a really good family, actually. He was a teacher and he was fired due to his alcoholism. And then a friend let him run his ranch, or, you know, some kind of a farm area. I can't remember quite how it's described, but, you know, he's given a lot of chances. He's a good looking man, you know, he's got a lot going for him. And then the beginning of this paragraph struck me. When he was confined in the hospital, he was approached. And that's the beautiful thing about our program. We approach one another. There is the 12th step right there. By an alcoholic who had known a spiritual experience, not just anybody, but an alcoholic who could understand him and no doubt told his story about, you know, his own alcoholism. Was it Bill Wilson? Not sure. Anyway, somebody was approaching him in Towns Hospital. He was one of the first ones in New York to get sober. And later, he says, but later, alone in my room. So we're always given a chance. You know, there's always a kind of, there can be a pause, even if things don't make sense to us right at the beginning. There can be this later when we can, if we're willing to be open-minded, and he was, his mind opened at that moment, and maybe it was a God shot, maybe God did it for him. You know, is it possible all the religious people I've known are wrong? And that was enough. That was his beginning. But he had to work hard. He had many trials in early sobriety. He very nearly drank again, and he had to really, you know, go and help somebody else. That's what saved him. And that's what
time.
Saved me. So thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Tony. Next, we have Darcy A. in Washington State. Good morning, Darcy.
Hi, this is Darcy A. in Washington State, compulsive overeater, recovered bulimic, 100-pounder. So grateful to be on the call. Thank you for all the history. I've just gotten so much out of this meeting already by the other shares. My heart always pounds when I talk on this meeting. I was just thinking about that. Who are you to say there is no God? And that just gives me chills, you know, to have that thought. And when he's thinking about himself, he's in hell. And that's my experience, you know, when he says, if there is a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for me. And when he's pondering and thinking about self, he's living in hell. And but when I'm able to approach others and try to be of service, I don't think about myself as much, and I feel freedom and at ease. And and when I'm doing step 10, 11, and 12 and examining my behaviors and actions and thoughts and motivations, and then turning it all over to my higher power and spending time in prayer and meditation, I feel I'm not in the gates of hell. I'm in, you know, I'm able to walk a free person, and I'm not stuck in the decades of relapse that I was in 6.5 years ago. The Southern Friend prayer really just is really special to me. And I was on my knees crying, saying that prayer, because it's just really powerful to me. The one about the prayer that Fritz said, it's in 215 in the fourth edition. And it's, God, here I am, and here are all my troubles. I've made a mess of things and can't do anything about it. You take me and all my troubles and do anything you want with me. And that's just the prayer that I want to say every day. You know, it's like, God, just please take me and give me my assignment for the day. And then I can walk and carry out my higher power's will for me. But anyway, I was on my knees 6.5 years ago, and I was praying that prayer, and I felt a presence behind me. I thought it was my husband putting his hand on my shoulder, and I felt back, and there was nobody there, and I just, it was a spiritual experience for me, and I hold on to that, and I was separated from most of my alcoholic foods at that time.
That's time.
And, but anyway, I'm grateful for this program and being relieved of all my alcoholic foods. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next we have Susan C. in Pennsylvania. Good morning.
Good morning. I love this little paragraph, and I think it's just really powerful. When I was a little girl, I was raised, we went to services. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I felt like so happy there, peaceful. And I went to religious school. And then my parents took me out of there, and I like went adrift. That's all I can think of. And when things started to go really hard for me at different stages in my life, getting married, having a child, I started like looking elsewhere, like for religious or spiritual, and I explored like different things, but it just never got me to where my original religious practice really helped me so much. And I, you know, have been in program, and I was able to have recovery many years ago and fell in and out. And you know, I can't blame my higher power. It's up to me, you know, to keep connected and to do, you know, like what I need to do in the program to stay into recovery. But one thing in the morning that I love, I have like a little practice. I wake up early, and the first thing I say is like, okay, higher power, where do you want me to go today? Who do you want me to be? What do you want me to do for the day? You know, because I have like a list of things, at least 10 things that I want to do and need to do. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And then just sometimes like when I'm confused or rushing about, it's like, okay, what do you want me to do now? And I get answers, and sometimes I just move. It's almost like intuitively. I'll just say, like one time, I was rushing about, and I was going to go and do something, and then I was held back from like going. That's all I can say. I was held back from going. And then I got a call, like, you know, about one of my children that they needed some serious help. Thank you. So I try to stay connected with my higher power and to get out of my ego and just be as quiet and peaceful as I can. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan C. in Pennsylvania. Next, good morning to BJ in Chicago. Please join us.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Thanks for all of the shares. I am BJ in Chicago, a compulsive eater seeking a psychic change. And as I was listening to the comments, you know how you think you know the meaning of a word, and I've heard gorge before in many different terms, and as I was looking at it again today, it said to overeat, to stuff yourself with food in a greedy way. And then it occurred to me in this reading, our friend Gorge rose as he bitterly cried out. And it's like something that was choking him, and then it started coming out, meaning to feel sudden disgust or sickness. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's pretty amazing that he had a physical reaction, because some of us do not get a physical reaction when we are gorging. And then the other statement, but later, alone in his room. And the thought also occurred to me, is that where God speaks to me most, when I'm alone in my room? I first came into OA in, 08, and I was in, and I was Miss OA, and then until I wasn't. And then I've been back since the pandemic, in and out and back, more solidly since last year. And, I have to constantly say to myself, is it possible that all the religious people and spiritual people I've known are wrong? What God has done for others, he will do for me and more. And today I do know there is a God. I do have a practice that can always be enhanced. So thanks for letting me share today. I'll keep coming back.
Thank you so much, BJ in Chicago. So before I take the next roundup of a few names, we read and we're commenting on the second paragraph on page 56, We Agnostics. One night when confined in a hospital, through two paragraphs ending with the sentence, who are you to say there is no God? So if this is, I'm getting tongue twister here, if this is your third day to share on any vision meeting, please star one, unmute, give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from this morning. We would love to hear from you.
Christina J.
Thank you, Christina.
Robin H.
Teresa A. Mary New York.
Robin H. Was there a Teresa?
Teresa A. New York. Yes.
Thank you. And there was someone else. I'm not sure if we'll have time for all four of you. Who was the
Mary C.
Mary C. All right. Let's pause there because we might run out of time. I've got Christina J., Robin H., Teresa A., and Mary C. And if you could all announce where you are calling from when you share, I'll turn it over to Christina. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, Susan. Christina J. from Washington State. This is a miracle paragraph, and it's the perfect storm for God. He was confined, and a friend came in to drop the seed, which made him bitter, and he started wallowing in self. And he was alone, as the last share just said. The perfect storm, confined, bitter, and alone. And suddenly, it says, he asked himself this question. So, to me, if God is all or God is nothing, this is God coming up in his consciousness and asking, and, posing the question in his mind that he thinks is coming from him. And what a question. Who are you? To say there is no God. Just breaks my heart, because I've always had one. I never had to ask this question. But, there's a relationship inside of us waiting to happen. Deep down within, the man, each man and woman is the fundamental idea of God. It's there. He's there. And he's waiting for the moment when we're confined in our disease, we're confined in a hospital we can't get out of, and we want to run, and we want to go eat more, or we want to distract. And, we're bitter because we can't find the answer. And we bury all that with food. But then, alone with all this stuff, through my program, through walking this path, the times when I connect with God is in the silence. And so many people through the years have shared, I dropped to my knees, I cried out in that bitter fear, confined in the disease, stuck in a fat body. Oh, it's painful. It's hell. It's hell. And God's waiting. He's watching. And he wants that relationship. But, you know, I can live with someone and I can say I love them and they can say they love me. But if I ignore them and go about doing my own business, the relationship's not going to grow. You know, if I'm going about my own thing and not engaging with my partner, God is my partner. He's my lover. He's the lover of my soul these days. And I have to continually walk towards him. You know, he is there. And how, you know, you're thinking, well, how can I put the food down when I'm owned with it, by it? Well, God brings us to that point. I really believe God brings us to that point because he lets the crap do the job. He lets the pain do the job. I wouldn't wish pain on anyone, but it's brought me miracle after miracle that I've surrendered and come to this power within me. And it's there for you if you're out there. I didn't have a thunderbolt. I had a long journey towards this beautiful silence, this going to God every morning with all my stuff, and I've been riddled in my brain lately with all kinds of stuff. But I always have those few moments of alone, and I get the connection again. So anyway, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Robin H. And Robin, if you could tell us where you're calling from this morning. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. And thank you, Susan, for your service. And thank you to everyone who's on the call. I am calling from Boston, Massachusetts. So reading this paragraph and hearing the shares, I was just reminded of what, you know, what as human beings do we want and seek the most, and that is to belong, to be understood, to have a purpose, and to feel secure, which is really relief from a constant fear. And I mean, I certainly have lived in constant fear, and that's absolutely where I live, which to me is hell. And hell's not a place I'm going to go. Hell is a place that I live if I don't work on, like, I guess work on being open, but it sounds so strange to say it that way. All of what I need is there and is being provided for me. And if I forget that, I didn't even know it my whole life. I know that I looked for connection. I looked for reassurance. I looked for understanding in sitting isolated, alone, refusing to be with people because I was so afraid of being around food. Everything scared me. And having somebody like plant that seed and asking or inviting me rather to just be open to say, who am I to say that this thing, this entity, this beautiful entity that is just waiting for me, this essence that's in the universe, and comes through all of us, this loving God. Like, how could I say that God isn't there when I've survived? I don't know how I have survived, but I have. And I wouldn't continue to survive were it not for a program that actually says, here's the way, here's the journey, here's the path to belonging, to being understood, to having and finding a purpose, and to security, to relief from fear and pain and judgment, if I'm willing to accept that I cannot control everything. And it's not up to me to control anything or to know anything. But if I follow the steps that everyone else is following and showing that it works and that they have relief, like it's all here. And it's just so beautiful. And I'm very grateful to be here and very grateful for all of you. So thank
That's
you.
Time. Thank you so much, Robin H. in Boston. Next, we have Teresa A. Teresa, where are you calling from this morning?
Hi, everybody. My name is Teresa A. from New York. It's great to be on this call. I've been on Vision for about 2 months now, and it's the best meeting in town. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Susan, for your service. I love this paragraph. I just love how God does his work. He just You know, some people get that, you know, connection immediately and don't have to go through the trials and tribulations like many of us, or most of us, have had to go through. And God just subtly works his magic and gets this guy in just this humble place. And I like what we said earlier about, you know, he steps away and goes and finds some quiet time and reflects and just realizes, who am I? How audacious of me, you know? And that happens to me. My God doesn't reach me when I'm in the throes and in the foxhole, say my foxhole prayers, crying for help. It happens when I walk away and I act as if, and I change my perception and I just pray for peace and guidance and just go about my day, not living in fear. Just God reaches me. And he had that moment himself. I'm a little jealous. I would love to have that thunderbolt experience, that awakening. But I'll take the spiritual experience day by day. So thank you for letting me share. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you so much. And our last share this morning will be Mary C. in Massachusetts. Oh, no, maybe she didn't tell me where she's from. I'm wrong. Mary, hi. Where are you from? Hello.
I'm from Ohio. Mary C. from Ohio, compulsive overeater and binger. And this is a beautiful paragraph. And, you know, I always... Until program, I always still believed in that, I guess somehow that childhood God that I grew up to know. And I always thought that times in my life God had forgot about me. And I realized that I forgot about God. God never forgot about me because he was always there. And I can remember very difficult times in my life of getting through them. And I thought it was my own accord. And it wasn't through me that I got through them. It was through God, my higher power, that got me through these very difficult times without me even realizing. And I didn't realize it until I got in program. And I'm reading a book now about God and who God is. And, you know, I'm really learning to question and ask questions about that and get a broader perspective of God. And, you know, I wish I'd also had that thunderbolt experience, but I didn't, and I'm still working on it, you know, and that is my goal, is to get closer to God and have a connection to God and, you know, count on God and have my willingness to surrender. And that is what I'm working now on, is surrendering. And sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. And, you know, one thing, God is a great forgiver and a forgetter, and he is so patient with us. And God is a loving God, and that's what I'm realizing in this program. And I love this program for that, is my getting a deeper and loving, more connection with my higher power. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you, Team Thursday, for the month of August. You have me moderating, Penny LC, Tony B, Vanessa G, stay on with Chanel and Leslie M. If you need a sponsor, if you are an available sponsor, and thank you to Lisa and Patty as well. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Tony B, will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.